I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 712, Halloween 4.2.
That's fair. Okay. Well, like 3 point.
It's Halloween 40.3,
yeah,
right?
It's 40.3, no, yeah.
It's the third in this trilogy, which makes it the fourth chronologically, if you ignore the other 17.
Oh, okay.
It is the, I think it is the longest running franchise, I think.
James Bond?
Not a horror franchise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
yeah, they made it to 13 before Friday the 13th.
They made it. Yes, that's right. They did. Yeah.
So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves before we forget.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us via the magic of ZoomTube is Justin from a whole host of things.
Yes.
That he might or might not be with.
My hands are in lots of different things.
Hey, hey now.
This is Justin from the Epic Film Guys, who you last heard on our review of The Batman.
I thought he was a gynecologist.
I mean, good for you, bud.
His hands are in all sorts
of things. You can ask my wife.
Yeah. I'm good at that.
Hey.
He's a hobbyist.
Hey, that's HIPAA compliance. We can't go into that, okay?
So,
yeah, thanks for having me on for this. This is a... this is a blast.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll fix that. So, I'm sick, but I tested. It's not COVID. But
I mean, I had it in July.
Yeah.
You're due.
So yeah,
you're due.
I'm about due for another round of it.
Yeah, it almost messed up a vacation for you guys.
Close. Very close. But to, like, the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messed up your vacation, didn't it?
Yeah, my wife tested positive the day before we left for Hawaii.
Tested negative the day before I left.
Yeah. I was like, oh, goodness. Oh, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While we're there, while you're there, well, I guess we're there too, be sure and follow us. You never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always nice. You can also find us on YouTube now, youtube.com/type. Real Spoilers into the search bar because we don't have a fancy
we'll find
yet.
It
one of these days
it'll get there.
We haven't gotten the invite yet. Yeah. We're like, hey everyone, we got to hit 100 subscribers quick because that's the rules, they're right here in the terms. And then it wouldn't work for like 3 days, and then after me refreshing the page for 3 days straight, it said, oh, by the way, our personalization system is down.
Yeah.
Great.
And now it's like they sent me an email.
Oh really?
For the YouTube channel for the clip out.
Uh-huh.
That's like, oh, here's how we do it now, but we already have one. So
of course the clip out,
I gotta tell you,
the clip out gets there. Yeah, they hand deliver right, theirs. Yeah.
So I forwarded to Kevin and they're like, oh no, it but still doesn't work for us.
Yeah, right. No, it's so like, okay.
We'll get ours by the time they change it again.
I know, yeah.
But you can find us on Vine.
Yeah, oddly enough.
Yeah. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content. We like you a little bit extra. By a little bit, we mean a lot. And you can also share an episode. That's super helpful. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Julianne Jordan, Librarian Cynthia, Heather Sachs, Chris Valls, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Travis T. Witt, Chris Magic Man, David Rojas, Matt Neglia, Dissect That Horror.
Yeah.
It's weird that like the horror one shared it the week before. I think maybe they're marketing geniuses, right?
They could be.
They're like, I'm going to share the week before the Halloween episode. Right.
Or they completely misinterpreted Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty horrible. Yeah. Collateral Cinema, Ronnie Castle, Vertigay 314, The Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, Chris Williams. I don't even know how to say this. S. Johnge 4.
Oh,
so
okay.
If I'm saying that wrong, S. Johnge, let me know.
Sure, it's not John. Sure, not John Jones.
No, it's S J O N G E J O N G E.
Then you're correct. Four. That's fair.
In Session Films, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Invasion of the Remake, Ryan Terry, Feelin' Film, D W Lundberg, and Minorities Report. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. So there's all of that. Let's dig in, shall we?
Oh man,
Joe's been waiting. Justin's chomping at the bit. These horror guys.
I said that I have like. I was worried, right? Because the last one I was like, no, that first 10 minutes is great. And then I had to defend it for the rest of the podcast. I think this is fantastic.
Oh.
I think this is David Gordon Green told his story. It's over. I got to tell you that. I don't know how you come back from the end of this movie with these characters.
I'm sure they can find a way.
They always do.
I don't think you can. I mean, well, we'll get into it. But...
Have you ever seen a horror movie before, Joe?
I've seen a
few
of them. I've never seen one of the villains get... Well, we'll get into what happens to...
Resurrect him by lightning. Just stake him through the chest. Put them together.
But he was in one piece.
I mean, literally, there's anything they can do.
Right.
I think...
Has an essence of magic to it anyway, so...
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think this story is done. Now, obviously, Blumhouse can do whatever they want. I don't know what... They're going to come back with something else, but this version of this story is over.
We'll see. So this is okay. So this is interesting. So you were a Kills guy.
So, okay. I like Kills because it's a Halloween movie, right? Like the Halloween franchise is my favorite franchise. It's the best. I liked Kills because I got to see a new Halloween movie.
Yeah.
And I think I stand by it. The first 15 minutes of that movie are fantastic.
Are they better than that one movie on the ship?
Ghost Ship?
Is that the one that you love the first 10 minutes of?
First 10 minutes of Ghost Ship is great.
Justin?
Oh, it's known that it's one of the best 10 minutes
of
any horror movie.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Just saying. Yeah. It's amazing.
Rest of the movie, that's arguable.
Okay, because I'm like, if there's someone to check Joe on this, it's Justin. I'm like, he's going to know.
First 10 minutes of Ghost Ship is perfection.
Okay.
But again, like getting that recap in Kills of changing how that story begins, I think is great. The rest of the movie is what it is. And I think there's no character development in Kills. It's just, we're just going to throw him into the Haddonfield and just slaughter as many people as possible.
Oh, you get character development in this. Not sure why.
So Justin, you were on the sane side of things with Kills. You did not like Kills.
Yeah, it was probably believe me, when it comes to the Halloween franchise in general, I've been disappointed on numerous occasions. I've walked out of the theater a few times after watching one and felt like I was sick to my stomach and that I probably needed therapy for 3 weeks. So it wasn't that big of an impact, but it kind of was in a way because I loved 2018. I loved the Back to the Basics approach. Yeah. I loved Laurie Strode's story in that. I felt like that was a perfect beginning and ending to a new Laurie Strode story. But of course, it became one of the largest horror movies of all time. We all knew there was going to be more of them. There's always going to be more of them. And to answer your question, they're going to be making another one of these, not with the same cast or this story, but in the next 3 years, I've been told, and I already know what it's about. So I don't know if that's going to change, but I gave it a few chances, and I'm a massive slasher fan. I love movies that are unrelenting, just brutal gore, death. Like, that's my But for some reason, Kills just did not work for me as a Halloween movie. I thought there were too many bad decisions. And here, I'm just going to say this outright right now. I think it's the worst Halloween movie in the entire franchise.
That's
100%.
That's 100%. Crazy.
I love it.
It immediately had me thinking about all of the old Halloween movies like Resurrection or Rob Zombie's movies and reevaluating them in my head. Like, I would rather go home and have a six pack and watch Halloween Resurrection than watch Halloween Ends ever again.
Oh my God.
Love it. See, this is a divisive movie. And it's funny because you have people that love the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Justin and Joe love the franchise. So it's not like, oh, non-franchise people think this and franchise. It's like, this movie is so polarizing.
I know. I tried to stay off Twitter or wherever just to see what people were saying because it's a cesspool, right? Well, like, sure. It's just the loudest are going to be the ones that you don't want to hear from.
There's going to be people that are irrational and yes. unreasonable, just making crazy comments. You know, you got to weed through all that to get to people like Justin and you, people right. that are forming opinions based on the franchise that they know and giving it a chance. You know, you've got certain people that are always just going to throw stuff under
yeah.
the bus. I love the 2018 movie. I think that is phenomenal. I think Kills is one of the worst movies, hands down. That just not even just horror or Halloween movies, but Kills is so bad. So it's, for me, Ends brought it up. This movie's weird and they go
it's
a different direction.
Weird.
It's different, but I appreciated some of what they were trying to do. And I thought there's no way it's worse than Kills for me.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
So it brought it up, but I don't think they stick the landing exactly. There's some ideas in this movie that I really yes. appreciated. The ideas of how trauma can affect people and how you've got Michael Myers that terrorized this town for all these years and killed so many people. But then even when he's not around, what effect does he have? Do you really even need Michael Myers, or is it just the idea of the boogeyman? And can there be another boogeyman that kind of lives, like the spirit of Michael Myers lives through? And there's just some interesting ideas, I think, but
they should have explored them.
And they should have explored the
idea. They should have, in a different movie, maybe.
Yeah, that's
where it would have worked.
That's
where I feel on this. It's a lot of cool ideas.
Yeah.
I think it would have been.
If you remove the Michael Myers aspect out of it and have it a completely different original thing. I mean, yeah. Ever heard of the movie Christine? Yeah, that's this. But it really is.
But that's what we say about Halloween 3, too.
I think it would have worked well, not better if they had finished their story and this is what they did, picking up after the ending of this movie.
Yeah, well, like you don't exactly, need Michael Myers exactly. anymore. You right. get a new because, Michael Myers.
Because
yeah.
the problem is, it's like you spend two-thirds of this movie thinking they're passing the torch to,
right.
to a new villain.
Right.
And then when they don't, you're like, well, then why did you spend two-thirds of your movie talking about this guy?
It's plot device.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even a plot device. Like, what did it accomplish? It accomplished nothing. And then the last movie sidelined the women, the female characters.
Right.
And this movie sidelines the villain.
Well, I think the worst part is that it is supposed to be the final movie, right? So if you told this story in between, if you Halloween 3'd it and there was another actual ending coming, okay, maybe. But when you spend two-thirds of the movie exploring what I think are these very interesting ideas, but then you're just like, nope. And then you're like, oh, yeah, but it is ending right at the end here.
Yeah.
It just feels like, well, why did you not give these characters the proper send-off? Laurie and Michael have their showdown like rushed at the end.
It's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's literally like 5 minutes.
Right.
And this is this was promised to us. No, and I'm not that guy that's like, you promised us David Gordon Green, but in reality, that's what they said, an epic conclusion or whatever, that right. tagline. And we did not receive that. But, you know, to comment on what you were saying a minute ago, Kevin, had this movie been in the middle, yeah. we got Kills third or something, or if they rearranged them a little bit, I feel like this could have gelled a little bit better, because it's culture shock for not just big fans, but also like the GA. They're like, wait, what the fuck? You just gave me like one of the most iconic epic slashers. I mean, even though if you didn't like it with Kills, but then you kind of like slow down and give us this character study of this character that I never really connected to in any way. I never related to in any way. I know what they were trying to go for, but I feel like for this movie, it just didn't work in the connection to the storyline and the timeline that they set up.
I think the problem is we got Kills.
If
we take Kills out of the equation and Ends is your second movie,
or
I think it plays completely differently.
Kills should be at the end,
right.
but the end of this movie is tagged onto Kills, and it ends.
Right.
Like, I think the problem is they split this movie. I think
yeah.
they should have had it be, the last movie should have been the last one, and they tried to get another movie out of it. And so if they would have actually put a finite ending onto Kills and then taken out some of the moronic Evil Dies Tonight business
yeah.
that happened.
Well, not even
hour.
That. Like,
well, no, I mean, just the ongoing stupidity of
the... I rewatched Kills before I saw this, and there is just like a weird, and David Gordon Green, we know, came from a comedy background, right? Like, sure. We know with Danny McBride, mm-hmm. like, we know that. So there are some weird comedic beats in Kills that, for whatever reason, they work perfectly in Halloween 2018, right? You've got the babysitter, you've got the kid that the friend is babysitting, who is very funny and witty.
2018 is incredible. The whole thing is just, I mean, they...
But he's able to weave that humor in there
sure.
with still being scary. Where in Kills, it felt like we had some weird stuff going on in that movie. And then in this
one... It didn't flow. I just didn't think it flowed.
I don't disagree at all.
It's not one movie. It's half a movie, basically. Like, they really... There should have been... 2018,
they stretched it, for sure.
2018, and then
the combination of these two.
Right? This movie and that movie are one movie that are split apart, and that's why the last one's so bad, because, like, nothing happens. Like, yeah, there's some kills in it,
yeah.
but a whole bunch of the movie is them walking around doing The Evil Dies Tonight, and it gets so old because...
I love how Kevin's just like, yeah, there's some kills in it, like, hence the name.
Yeah, right. See?
It's true, though. I mean they knew they didn't have a full movie there. They really didn't, but they said, listen, we can stretch this thing and give, you know, hardcore slasher fans what they want, and, like, pure utmost brutality, which is enjoyable. It's all well done. It's, like, really cool to watch, but none of it really makes sense from the point that they want to go from in 2018 to the point they want to go to and ends here. And in essence, it really just hurts the whole entire thing.
It does, because it's like, now you've taken, I mean, you fall so far in Kills, and then this one, I think, again, picks it up a little bit, but it being like the final film, the one where Michael Myers is supposedly dead at the end, and it's their send off for Laurie, it just leaves you with this bad taste in your mouth, where now the whole thing is kind of like,
I don't think, to me, it didn't leave a bad taste in my mouth, because I wasn't sure how this was going to end, honestly. Like, I thought we were going to kill them both.
Yeah.
Right? That's where I thought we were going to go. That makes total sense, given where we see Laurie in 2018 and how she, you know, what has happened to her. It would make sense that in Kills, or that in this one, that's it. Like, we're going to kill them both. We're going to end Laurie's story officially. Laurie Strode technically dies off screen in Halloween 4. She dies on screen in Halloween Resurrection. But this was going to be it. This was going to be the end of this story. So, giving her kind of the hero send-off, I think, is good. I like that we get a definitive ending to the story. She is she is the ultimate final girl. And I know that term is probably not looked at the way that it used to be, but she's the first, and she finally, after 40 years of fighting this guy, she wins, right? She's resilient. She's smart. She's sort of setting traps and tricking somebody into thinking that something may have happened, and we'll get into that as we go forward. But giving her that final ending where she doesn't die and she can go on with her life and she gets somewhat of a happy ending, I think, is kind of brilliant, because you never see what happens to these women at the end of these movies. You see them survive,
which is what made the first one in this reboot run so good,
right?
And because it was really smart, and I can only assume that was an accident.
I don't know. Like, that's
It was reshot. The ending of 2018 was reshot twice. So the original ending for 2018 tested insanely terribly. So they went back and redid the whole thing. If you've ever seen or heard of the original ending, it's like Michael and Laurie have a knife fight with one another, and then they injure each other, and then it basically ends. It's like ridiculously bad.
Hmm. So, okay,
it's a powerful ending in 2018, and I just wanted to come on what you're saying in terms of that. I mean, let's face it, the best part about this movie is the ending. It is powerful. I just wish that it was tacked onto another movie.
Exactly. That's totally fair.
It should be this ending should be tacked on to Kills somehow.
I think the procession,
or even in Kills, if they just killed him off. I mean, they accomplished the same thing. Laurie can get away and have a happy ending in Kills if they just kill Michael off.
Sort of.
She sets the trap and kills him. Like, she gets it. Why? But they're like, oh, let's get another. Because
the
movie.
Curse is still going to be there, right? But you can't have a movie without that mask on the poster. You can't have the shirts without the mask on them. You need that mascot in terms of what the fans' expectations are. And then,
I was gonna say, they tried that once.
Oh, right. With three?
And I mean, we all know how that ended up, but now it's a cult classic. Right. And now it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
You know?
So give this one 20 years, right?
Well, that's what everyone's saying, Kevin. But
right. The original, the new Halloween 3.
But it's so interesting that they do pass the mask for a little bit in this movie. Like they, so I don't know if they're going to call that a bait and switch or they pull out the rug and surprise you, but like he's dressed up. Like you're like, oh, they're passing the mantle.
Here's the thing about these movies, right? Yeah. If you are a member of the Patreon, you know that I did an interview with Dustin McNeil, who wrote, along with his co-writer, wrote two books, Taking Shape and Taking Shape 2. Taking Shape is like a, I mean, it's a, you could kill somebody with the size of this book. And it's just a breakdown talking to directors and producers and actors of every Halloween movie up until 2018. There's a second book that was just supposed to be like a tack on, like a little extra, that turned out to be another book that you would murder somebody with of all of the unmade sequels of Halloween. As I'm watching this ends, I was like, man, this sounds vaguely familiar, right? So the original idea for Halloween 5 with Danielle Harris was that she was going to be the killer. There was going to be a psychic link between Jamie Lloyd and Michael Myers, and Jamie was going to be the killer. Mustafa Akkad, who was the producer at that point, was like, this is a terrible idea.
You need the boogeyman in the movie with the knife.
We can't have this 7-year-old girl murdering adults. So they changed it to what it was. That's one of the least popular ones.
I mean, Charlie was supposed to be a copycat killer in that one. He was supposed to be wearing the mask and having the knife. So they've already played with a lot of the ideas that are injected into this movie. Yes. It's very interesting.
The original H2O, which was written by, it was Two Faces of Evil by Robert Zapaya, I think is his name, was going to have two killers. And you're going to have Michael, and then you're going to have like a copycat. Yeah. So it's just interesting to see like all of these bits and pieces that still show up, you know, and that, I think that was written in like 97, 96, 97. So it's like just these weird little pieces that keep popping up. Also, the credits of this movie were the Halloween 3 credits.
Yeah, the first
Halloween 3.
Yeah, the blue.
The font for Halloween 3.
The only other one that's
I got to tell you, I did see those credits and I was
like,
oh, no.
Season Witch.
I mean, I'm surprised there weren't more references. Like,
you got
it being the third movie, you'd think that they
got him in Kills.
But well, it's also the biggest crime, movie. And I just tweeted this morning, literally before we started. The biggest crime of this entire trilogy is that we didn't get a Tom Atkins cameo.
I know. He's the first guy.
All right. So plot wise, because I want to get into some of the stuff with this new character who becomes 2/3 of the movie.
Right. So we go to 2019. So we're a year out from but the 2018 Halloween.
H4O.
Yeah. We're introduced to Corey, who's this kind of a babysitter, but kind of just like he works for this family, cuts their lawn. So he has like this relationship with his family, and they ask him to babysit last minute Halloween night.
These are horrible parents. First off, the logic here.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
This kid's supposed to be what, 8, 9 years old?
Give or take.
So it's Halloween night.
Yes.
And you're not taking your child trick or treating.
No.
You're going to a party.
You're going to a party and pawning them off on a babysitter.
So you know that's what the original one is, though, too, right?
I mean,
in 1978, Laurie Strode is babysitting Tommy Wallace because his parents are out.
Well, they're all babysitting while the parents are
I guess
are
that's
out.
True. Yeah, they're all babysitting. Yeah, except, all for, P.J. Souls.
But don't we see them trick-or-treating earlier?
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. You see kids
trick-or-treating
earlier.
She's just getting laid
with
Bob.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, like, right. Thank you.
I'm like,
but in this movie's defense, like that's how 78 starts.
Yeah.
Or ends, I guess. Is Laurie's babysitting Tommy while the parents are out. So, nah.
It's a game that goes horribly wrong.
It's also, I did love this movie, but there are some things that were weird. The character switch with this kid happens real fast. So, we see him initially and he's playing like with a paper airplane and he's like, come play with me, let's hang out. And he's totally cool. And then we flash forward a little bit, and these two characters are watching John Carpenter's The Thing, of course. Like, that's what we're going to do.
And then it fucked that kid up for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
he switched. Instant insanity.
But so that kid is watching that movie, but then there is a part, you know, it's one of the greatest special effects ever on film, is of the head coming off the body. And even Corey, the babysitter, is like, all right, I think we needed to be done. And the kid, like, just flips on him. He's like, you're a garbage babysitter. And it's just like,
The kid's a jerk.
I don't think that he is until this moment.
I mean, the kid's mad that he has to go to bed at 8:30 and he's not out trick-or-treating. And he's a jerk kind of the whole time. But when the babysitter says, turn this movie off that we're enjoying.
Right.
And Corey's creeped out. I mean, here's the thing. It's a year past the H4O, the 2018 movie. This terrible stuff has just happened again after all the Michael Myers stuff that Haddonfield has been privy right. to over the years. And so everyone's on edge. It's, you know, it's the next Halloween. He's freaked out. Corey's freaked out. And, you know, the horror movie's setting him off. And so I think it's really, I mean, Corey seems cool until the kid starts really acting like a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
And from then on, then, I mean, the kid disappears on him. He's playing tricks. He opens the door.
This is actually a pretty well done, like,
horror. I like this opening scene.
Yeah.
I like that, like, you can see, like shadows in the background. You
it's a creepy yeah. scene.
And you're not sure what yeah. is going on.
I like the head fake of him accidentally killing him.
Yeah.
Like, I...
when that kid says, they don't kill kids in this movie, and not, you know, they, Michael yeah. Myers doesn't kill kids, he kills babysitters. And I was like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that kid might die.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it that they flipped the script there. Yeah. It's a creepy moment. Like, there's a knife. He's cutting the bread that the mom has baked. And then you go back and the knife isn't there. So right. you're thinking it's Michael Myers. The door's open. But it's the kid playing tricks yeah. and being a little jerk. And so he ends up locking Corey in a room.
Like an unfinished part of the attic.
Yeah, and he's like. And he's messing with him. He's like, he's going to get you. You're going to die. He's going to kill you. And it's like really anxiety inducing.
It is. And I will say that the actor that plays Corey, I think, up until a certain in this moment, he's really good. Like, you can feel that he's scared. You can yeah. feel that, like, and then he starts kicking on this door. The parents are walking in. They can hear him say, I'm going to, they can hear Corey say, I'm yep. going to kill you. Kicks the door. The door hits the kid in the face, and he does a swan dive off of what looks to be about 17 stories in the air.
Yeah, I've got quite the foyer here.
And the way the kid lands oh. is even worse. Like, it looks like he does, like, if you know anything about, like, skateboarding, called a scorpion, which is basically where you land on your face and your feet come, like, up over your head. Jeez. And, like, touch your... Google the, yeah. you know, skateboarding scorpion. It's gross.
He does not make it.
No. And that's how this movie starts.
I mean, it's really uncomfortable because they build up the horror, like we were saying, and then you have a kid die, which is always uncomfortable.
And it's one of those things where, like, if depending on what you're watching, you're like, oh, well, maybe we'll get a kid murder in this one. I've been watching Halloween movies my entire life. Like, I've never seen a kid die.
And
in
the opening, the cold open, if you will.
It is a cold open.
I mean,
open. Yeah,
you don't expect it. So I think it sets it off well. And I really like the idea, again, if this were a different movie and not supposed to be the epic conclusion of Michael and Laurie, I like the idea of trauma and how it affects people differently and how, like, this kid was accidentally thrown into this
yeah.
and the way it follows him. And also with Michael kind of being gone, he's been laying low for 4 years now. The town is kind of using him as the Michael scapegoat.
The gropey mother, Corey's incestuous mother. I'm not making that up. There's definitely an awkward scene where you're like, whoa, that was.
Looks like she's gonna try to make out with him.
That's exactly what she does.
Not Ruth Buzzy.
No. Yes, thank you.
Obviously, the mother is very, like, control, like, doesn't want him to leave the house.
Another reference to Christine.
Very much yeah. so. Yeah, the line from the stepdad where he's like, I hope you find love. Got a pretty good pop.
Can we just say right now, he's probably the greatest
character.
I love everything about this guy.
The stepdad is really funny.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like, now, and this is, I normally won't defend Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, but there is something in that movie that is interesting. It's what happens to Laurie after the fact. Like, where is her brain after the fact?
I wanted to go back and watch it, and I didn't have a chance because I haven't seen two since that movie came
out.
You
don't have to.
Really?
I mean, it's all right.
In comparison.
But
I feel like after this, honestly, I really do feel like after this, it's going to be a lot easier to reevaluate those movies. I really do, because this one went so far off the tracks for me, so it's going to be easier for me to accept that one again. I haven't also rewatched it since it came out.
Yeah. I just think the idea of exploring Laurie's psyche at that point, and then, like, the idea that mental health is a family thing,
yeah.
right? So, like, and then she finds out halfway through that movie that the guy that just murdered her best friend and everybody in this town is her brother. Like, what happens to that character at that point? It's not a well done movie, but I do think that is interesting, and we kind of get that here with Allison.
Yeah.
Where Allison even more so, because her parents are dead, all of her friends are dead, her boyfriend is dead, everybody in her life, with the exception of her wackadoo grandmother, who she's not really wackadoo, obviously,
mm-hmm.
are gone. So, like, what happens to her?
Yeah.
Where she has to live with this in this world where not her uncle murdered everybody. So I do think that those are interesting beats to touch on. But yeah, to your point, is then we get a flashback of 78's flashback. We get a flashback of 2018.
I'm Well, I'm interested to get to the end of this movie because there is something I think also frustrating about what they do, which ends this movie on a down note for me. But we'll get there. But it's interesting you bring that up because
which part?
Connection.
The flashback thing?
Well, when you're talking about, you know, how do you move on and how does it affect you afterwards and all that? Like the way they try to wrap this movie up with the switch of, oh, now there's a new Michael Myers, now there's not, but then there's like, oh, is Laurie trying to ruin my happiness and my relationship and
oh,
all
you mean
that
with Allison?
Yeah, and yeah. Then it's like, oh nope, like they like they set
the
up
the switch
some
is so fast.
Yes,
yeah,
they set up some interesting ideas. I think these are all on their own interesting ideas, but they just keep going nope, nope, because
yeah.
They're like, here's an idea, but we're not going to follow through on
I
it.
I did think that
shopping it right up,
yeah,
throwing it away.
The Michael Myers that we get in this movie, I didn't think was going to be real.
Yeah,
I thought it was a figment of Corey's imagination, well, and it was going to turn out to be Allison and Corey were our two, because they kind of hinted that at the end of 2018, where she's got the knife in her hand, but she hasn't dropped it.
Right.
Like they focus in on her like gripping the knife, and I was like, well, that would be interesting to, you know, twist that on its head and say that, you know, Allison is now the killer for this franchise.
I think there's something interesting to be said about the way they set up Corey, and he goes through this horrible experience where clearly he's not a killer. He didn't mean to kill this kid. It's a horrible circumstance. The town basically replaces him as Michael Myers because he's gone, but now they need someone to, you know, that's terrorizing the town, and he's this pariah. And like all the stuff that he's going through, it kind of like he's trying to do the best he can, but he keeps getting crapped on around every corner.
Right.
You've got the band bullies, which everyone knows.
I know.
Band
that
bullies.
Was a weird one.
Guys,
really
give
weird.
Me give me a break. These kids look like middle schoolers. They look like they're 12 and they're trying to bully a 20-year-old. Get it's, the fuck out of here.
It's so,
seriously, that kid is like 4 feet tall. If he came up to me
when he,
and tried to bully me.
When they walk up to each other and Corey, like that kid is like at Corey's mouth.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you worried
also,
about?
Why
bro?
Does that kid sound like he's from Brooklyn?
I thought, yeah. I did dude. Say the same thing. I was like, this I think I saw
the
it.
Same was true of Corey's mother.
Well, Corey even himself, there's an accent that he doesn't sound like he's from the Midwest.
Yeah,
like that's the whole thing about this movie on a broader level for me. The accents, the way the kids talked. Now I know, granted, we live in America and people travel around and move around, and I'm like, he sounds like he's from Brooklyn. He sounds like he's from Jersey. The band kids were laughable because they get out and they're literally band kids. I'm like, okay, and they look like they're 12. And you're going to be frightened by them? Like, you're 20. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know
I'm just
why,
old school. But
why they made band kids bullies. It's the weirdest thing. Like, that's
or
not...
Even, or
switch
even
it up instead
them,
of jocks? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or even make them physically imposing.
Right.
You know, like... and
they'd probably be like, why are these physically imposing people in the... Or,
I mean, like, dude, if you're going to rip off Christine, rip it off right. Have him like Buddy Ray. He's this jacked, big, like, 25-year-old dude that shouldn't be in school anymore. Like, make him a threat. I mean, it's not like Corey's like this tiny kid. He's a taller guy, and I'm not saying size is everything. Just look at UFC. But to me, it came off as like comedic, and I don't know if that was Danny McBride in the background. Like, hey, make him really small and make him look like they're 12.
But I do kind of think that adds to Corey's character.
Like
where
he's so
timid,
he's
and so
weak,
yes,
that he can be bullied by these kids.
That's kind of what I was thinking: is that he is so
broken
and so weak that he can be bullied by, you know.
It was just a weird choice. It was
rich,
a very
rich
weird
band kids.
So he's been, you know, he's being
with like the worst haircuts. Jesus Christ!
I mean, you know, that's that. I've seen some bad ones. I work on a college campus. It's like, well,
I guess what am I talking about? I got to
like you left the house like that. Huh? Okay,
but like, when is this movie taking place? Because he gets bullied by these kids.
Yes.
And then it's like he sees them later in the movie, but I couldn't figure out the timing of this because it's like, was there a time jump?
So there
it's
is.
4 years.
So it's four.
Well, no, not from the opening scene.
Oh.
But from like when he sees these kids, because then he sees them again, and it's like, but it can't still be the same day. But it's always Halloween, and I'm like, I think it's supposed to be the next Halloween. But they said they're seniors, and they're also wearing high school stuff.
Well, I think this doesn't take place. Like, the end of this movie, like, the final showdown, like, in the house and all that stuff, is on Halloween.
That's on Halloween. The rest of it's just, like, leading
like
up to
two
Halloween.
Days
That's why
before.
You see a Halloween party and stuff like that. Just,
Oh, it's like Halloween.
Around Halloween
Tuesday.
Stuff.
Yes, correct. Yeah. It's the worst.
Halloween Tuesday is what they should have called this. It would have also managed our expectations, because Halloween's on Tuesdays suck.
Yeah, it's this year.
Yeah.
But so
it would have also been good if it felt like Halloween, in which it does not at all whatsoever, which is one of my biggest gripes. It doesn't feel like the holiday, and in terms of the tone of it, does not, to me, feel like a Halloween movie at all whatsoever.
It's
so what, you have a party at a bar with people in costumes. That doesn't make it feel like the aura or the spirit of the holiday for me.
It is interesting. If you look at this franchise, right, like the first one is filmed in California. They got to ship in the, you know, everybody knows that story. They're shipping
paint the leaves.
They can't. Also, there, if you go back and watch it, there's palm trees in the background. Like, they can't even get them.
First movie is a masterpiece.
Oh,
though.
For sure. It's yeah, without, so good. Without question. Yeah. And then if you look at, like, I think 4, 5, and 6 may have been filmed in, like, Salt Lake City. So it just they does were, have, yep. yeah, it has a different look, yeah. you know, than it, Salt Lake City just has a different vibe. And then.
That's one way to say it.
That's true. And then I think H2O is back in California, but, like, it's. Set in
but
California.
To,
yeah. yeah, it's set in California. Where I do think the 2018 felt like the Midwest. Especially
2018 nails everything about it. Yes. The tone, yes. the story, the Michael Myers.
The holiday. You see kids trick-or-treating. Yeah. It feels like parents are going out while they're, you know, it just feels like the holiday. And that's yeah. something about this one that lacked for me. Even Kills lacked that for me, even though you saw kids trick-or-treating and stuff. Yeah. To me, a Halloween movie, regardless if it's in the Halloween franchise or not, if it's supposed to take place on Halloween, I want it to feel like the holiday. I want it to have that spirit because it's my favorite thing in the world. Aside yeah. from the movie, the holiday is my favorite thing. So I just was hoping it would feel like the aura and the tone of the spirit, and it just didn't have that at all whatsoever. Like the opening, you see kids are trick-or-treating when the kid dies, but that's it. Literally, the rest of the movie is not Halloween-centric. A pumpkin on the wall or sitting on a whatever, you see Lori carving a pumpkin. Yeah, and it looks just like the one she carved in 78. Cool. But that still doesn't, for me, nail it.
That's a good point. It doesn't feel like Halloween, and that there, is... Doesn't
but I count. Wonder...
So I have a question. Halloween H2O, you said it's been... I haven't seen it since yeah. it came out. You said it takes place in California?
Yeah.
Do they explain how Michael Myers yeah. gets to California?
Yeah, so he... All right, well, here's your Halloween H2O podcast.
He drives.
He gets out. He goes to the house that the nurse from part one,
okay.
from the right, Loomis and the nurse are in that car in part one, and sure. he smashes the. So that nurse, same actress, is Loomis's caretaker. Loomis dies. Michael Myers figures out how to. Now I will totally admit I don't know how he figured out where Loomis lived, but breaks into Loomis's
phone
house.
Book.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you. Breaks into Loomis's house. Goes through the files that Loomis has because now Loomis has all of the files on Laurie Strode and where she lives now, reads the file, says, oh, she's in California, takes a car, drives to California.
Wait a minute, you're telling me that Michael Myers drove from Illinois
yes.
to California
yes.
without a driver's license.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Put that man
he
in jail.
He was doing very well last night.
Put that man in jail.
He had 20 years to learn how to drive really
yeah, Dr.
good.
Dr. Wynn taught him real well.
I just want to see footage of him like buying gas.
I know. Right? Just waving out the window.
He's driving one car and then yeah. he ditches it. But it is, he ditches it in California to get a second car is like, well, you still had to go halfway across the United
right.
States.
No, yeah. that would be a great. We need a whole road trip.
Need a road
movie.
Trip movie.
An entire movie about how Michael Myers gets from Illinois to California.
So I'll watch it.
You get the yeah. the, well,
the
I mean, scene.
Happily. You the same question that you could ask about H2O. You could ask about Michael Myers' whereabouts in this, which is probably one of the most divisive things for fans in terms of the fact that. If you go back to the Friday the 13th remake, a lot of people were like, Jason would never have underground tunnels. He would never live in underground tunnels. That's like Leatherface. Now here we have Michael Myers living in a sewer. He's now joined the Teenage Mutant Ninja
he's
Turtles.
Ninja
he's
Turtle, yeah. yeah. He's just hanging out.
What is he feeding off of, rats? Like, I wish
well,
that they
okay,
gave a little bit more.
Also,
the rest of the year.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, like, yeah. it's just like, he really only, he's like Santa. He only works one day a year.
One day a year. I will say, we have, in the past, we've seen him eat dogs and rats. We've seen him
of course.
Eat that stuff, so that makes total sense. So, anyway.
I wish they would have explored it a little in this movie, though, because we haven't seen what
he's
eats.
Well, he's and been in this sewer for 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years. And then the homeless guy says every once in a while he pulls someone in. Is he eating people? Like, yeah. what is he? It's just weird him living in the sewer.
Which is why I thought initially that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Right? Because that I agree that it didn't make sense.
It just felt so
strange. Just hanging
well,
out.
First
in the sewer.
Of all, you don't see him for an hour or whatever, 40 minutes of the movie. Like
kind
of
like Halloween 3.
And then you
the
do it, and it's this
you don't
sewer thing. So it's very weird. But okay. But plot of this movie, real quick, though. So Corey is now the pariah. People are picking on him. Lori sees it. And again, there's another interesting idea. Here you have Lori, who, as she said on the last press junket, trauma. It's all about trauma.
Trauma.
And now you get,
yeah, Kevin, it's trauma.
And then you've got this other kid now who has. has this different trauma, but there's a connection between the two of them. They can relate, but then this guy ends up going off in the Michael Myers way with his trauma,
yeah,
dealing with it in a different way. And I just thought there was an interesting connection, but Laurie basically sets him up with her granddaughter because there's a big Halloween party and she doesn't want to go by herself. And she's like, oh, well, here's this traumatized kid.
Well, she takes him in to get his hand fixed. But to set him up. Now she sets him up.
Yeah. And then you get this natural born killers thing, which right. I'm like, this is really interesting because now Allison is now dealing with her trauma in a very interesting way where people are crapping on her. There's a nurse that is.
No, the nurse isn't bad. It's the doctor that's bad. Well, the doctor's the jerk off.
There's a nurse that got a promotion because she's sleeping with the doctor. So she's getting screwed
over.
That's
not bad. That's bad. That's bad. She's bad.
it is definitely bad.
Or is it okay to sleep with your boss to get a job in America now?
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I thought that was a no-no now. I thought we lived in a different world.
But I think the umbrage the power, should fall on the doctor.
Yeah, yeah
he's
right,
the one who
right.
has the power.
There it is.
But she's a jerk, yes. though. She's like, I mean, the way she's running her mouth and being very insensitive around Allison, and, you know, she even says it in this stuff. She's, like, Allison calls her on. She's like, Do you ever shut the... So there's all these people around, the doctor, the nurse that gets the job that she should have gotten, and then the people that are picking on Corey. And these two basically team up, and I'm like, they're going to become killers.
They go out to dinner at this... Oh, I got to tell you, I would love to go out to dinner at that little diner. That place looked great. I'm sure the hamburgers were amazing.
Sure.
Where they're sitting there, and Allison is approached by her ex-boyfriend, and there's a confrontation between those two. And again, like... to what you guys were saying is that he initially is very timid until those kids push him over the ledge and Michael kind of takes him and there's that weird transference of whatever is going on. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Intersect. Like Chuck.
I didn't like that at all.
Were they high schoolers in 2018? Is Allison in high school?
Yeah. Because they're walking to school.
So
she's
dating a high schooler. And then all this crap goes down. Then she dates a 50-year-old
cop.
He's
45.
Okay, now hold on a second. I will say she has some trauma she's working through, right?
Right.
And I think sometimes when you have that much trauma, you just kind of gravitate towards something that feels safe.
Yeah.
And that's what I interpret from that relationship is that she kind of gravitated to him.
I get like a cop protective.
Not even that, but just like a safe... normal person.
But why not a good-looking cop?
Maybe kind of milk toast.
But this guy's a douche.
This guy's a
complete
douche.
He's not, though. He doesn't do anything.
A-cab.
He stalks her. He pulls her over.
He doesn't do anything.
He's a jerk. He's a jock jerk.
Why? What does he do that's bad? Up until the point where he follows Corey to the overpass... He doesn't really like. Yes, he is like he pulls Allison over, but it's like, hey, I thought we were gonna talk or what? You know, your muffler is kind of messed up. And he says, all right, see you later. And then at the diner
is where it was weird. She's clearly there with a guy who he's ignoring.
That's fair, but he doesn't.
And then he's acting like a jerk, inviting her over, and then like I'm here with someone.
Yeah. No way that
in front of the
no
dude,
way
yeah.
that cop backs down.
No way.
And then
so
no
here's
way.
The part that I think.
And he's
though,
a cop with all his buddies.
There is a moment where even Laurie says she's like, I looked at that kid, and it was there's nothing there.
I like that if they're saying he saw the Michael Myers.
That's what I'm saying is like maybe when he's face to face with this kid. And there's something wrong.
Then they show that.
Psycho.
Yeah, right.
Like, show that then. Show the thing through the eyes. You know, show the thing. Like, because basically what happens is the band kids end up, like, to get revenge. So he and Lori gives him a knife at the gas station. He slashes the tires. His hand gets hurt because he crushes this bottle and then gets repaired. Then all of a sudden him and Allison become a thing. And then... flash forward, he's walking home from this party and he gets all freaked out because he sees the mom of the kid who he accidentally killed in the opening scene.
Kind of, I mean, makes sense.
Like, I mean, they're dealing with totally, stuff. Yeah. Again, it's hard to say, like, there's not necessarily a wrong or right. They're all dealing with this trauma in different ways. It's an interesting exploration. But so she lashes out on him and he freaks out. And then he tells Allison, like, why'd you bring me out? You knew this would happen. And she's like, what? Like, she's being nice to him and, like, genuinely likes him. But obviously she goes to get drinks and he deals with the mom in this terrible situation. He's walking home and who does he meet but the band bullies?
Right.
And the band bullies. And... The main douche kid who we see like has a rich dad who talks down to him. Corey starts mouthing off to him and he throws him over and over.
He does throw him over. And then of course he's taken by Michael Myers
and he's dragged into the sewer by
Which I think Michael is like, I was like, well, we did see this a couple years ago in It, but all right.
See, I thought that Michael Myers was going to possess him. I thought that was like him taking that new body, right? Because he's older and he's run down. I thought now Corey was going to literally become Michael
Myers.
Yeah, that's
where I thought we were going. I'm okay, like, oh, okay. And that's how we're going to keep this franchise.
Yeah, now we've got a new...
You can pass from person to person.
It's still Michael. Right. Get that supernatural element in there a little bit.
But they never really explain that. They don't ever really go into it at all. You're just left as an audience member, like, you know, scratching your head like, oh, I assume that's what happened,
but
not that they
need
not that they need to overly explain every single detail. I'm actually not a fan of that, but I'm saying to, you know, the novice fan, they're just like, oh, what happened there? Oh, now all of a sudden this guy can walk around and kill. He could also, you know, at the end of the movie, which we'll get to, be shot like a bunch of times and still be alive. Like, he's taking from Michael Myers that power in a way. We've seen Michael Myers at the end of Kills, which basically was supernatural. I mean, he's being shot, beaten, and he's still alive. He's basically Jason in that movie. Let's make no mistake. Yeah. He's not Michael Myers. But we've seen him that happen to him in the past. He's been shot, whatever, and he's still gotten up. But to go back to the scene you guys were talking about at the diner, and I just wanted to comment on this because Rohan Campbell, who plays Corey Cunningham in this movie, does not work for me throughout the majority of this movie. But that scene for me is literally the only moment where I felt any kind of intensity or any kind of threatening nature about him. And
that's fair.
The rest of the movie, it comes off as extremely forced. He plays a good guy, a nice guy, a guy that has problems really well. But when it comes to him being a threat, I just don't think he was the right guy for the job. But I understand why they cast him in this role. He's very unassuming. He looks like the kind of guy that could probably get bullied by a bunch of 12-year-old kids that are 3 feet high. But just because he's got this, I don't know, not passive nature to him, but he just looks like a nice guy, like a regular guy.
He does. Who's dealing with stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But when it gets to this point, and I was not a fan of the whole transferring thing,
it
would have made more sense.
This is interesting.
Had it been like...
Justin, if you don't look at it as a transferring thing, but so Michael Myers is a killing machine. He kills people.
Indiscriminately.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You run into Michael Myers, he kills
one
you.
One day a year.
Correct.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But this was interesting, though. But he
has
Corey.
He's old. He's got to catch his breath.
He's got Corey by the throat, and he's going to do one of his kills. But he looks at him.
He lets him live.
He looks at him in the eyes and can tell that he's been traumatized, been through all this
stuff. So, okay. Now, here's my problem with that. When you're now you're saying that Michael Myers can recognize the trauma of another person, which completely makes Michael Myers a human being.
And it negates every single thing that we know about the blackest eyes, the devil's
eyes.
So if
he's able to say like, hey.
I don't think it was trauma. I think it was a kindred spirit.
So do you mean it's like an animal looking at another animal and being like, all
because
right.
If it was trauma, he would see it with everyone he's killing because they're experiencing trauma.
But there was something about his experience which made him save him. But you're right. Maybe he recognized another killing machine.
Like, oh, you killed someone.
Yeah.
You killed a little kid. Okay, I can relate to you. Let's hang out.
But there's something interesting there to
explore. He's like, hey, man, I've never killed a kid. You're crazy.
Yeah. Like, at that point, I'm like, this is weird and this is different. But I kind of liked it because I'm like, well, what is happening? Is he transferring those powers? Now he's a killing machine.
That's kind of the premise of the original Halloween 5, right? Is that the evil transfers to Jamie Lloyd and she becomes the killing machine, which I was like,
oh. I think if they went with that in this one, I think that would be kind of a cool way to do it, but they want to have their cake and eat it too is the problem.
They're trying to hint at a supernatural force around
this
just, in some
it's
way.
It's difficult to introduce a supernatural element this late into a film franchise.
Totally.
Like if it's going to be supernatural, then it needs to start from a point of supernatural.
But
like,
you have to think there's some supernatural with the way Michael Myers gets.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think
it's just film trope.
But
like,
I also,
you can't kill. Like, I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think there's a reason for it other than narrative choice. You know what I mean? In
or
the
he just doesn't
that
feel it.
James Bond can get shot and he still pops up and beats the
he
bad guy.
He can have
guy
sex with all those women and not have an STD.
Yeah.
But, like, it starts off not.
His refractory period is
ridiculous.
Come on.
Superhero.
Yeah.
But no, I do think that, like, part of. Obviously, they never give him a mental health diagnosis, but part of his thing is he just doesn't feel pain. He just doesn't feel
it. But at some point, there's not feeling it, and then, like, your body physically can't function at a certain.
But I think we get that
in the real world, yes, it's ridiculous.
But think it's movie.
And the construct of this movie is basically, like, he can absorb any amount of damage and he'll be okay.
But I also think we do see that in this, where he is Like, there's a scene in the sewer where he's like slowing. It's when the cop gets brought down to the sewer and he's
and Michael Myers gets his ass beat.
He does, and he's like he can't stand up right away. He's
seems like he doesn't have use of one of his arms.
Well, he's like, half of his face is on fire. Like,
well, also they hint at this at the end of Kills. Like, even throughout that movie, the reason why he's so powerful is the more he's killing, the stronger he's getting.
Yeah,
that's like the Hulk. That's something that's very relevant in that movie. So it feels like by the point we see him in Ends, where he's like really weak and. He hasn't killed in a while.
Yeah.
I'm led to believe that.
To that point, though, is that when he does kill the cop, there's a moment where he stands up.
He does recharge a little bit.
He's cracking his back. He's like, oh, yeah, this is okay.
Well, what's he been doing? There's a homeless guy right outside the sewer for 4 years.
He said he's Michael Myers. Didn't you watch the movie?
Yeah, but like, yeah, that was weird. But yeah. It's just weird. It's like, okay, well, why is he hiding in the sewer for 4 years? Why isn't he killing and recharging?
Right.
I don't know.
So like,
why do you only eat one day a year?
Yeah.
That's because the story requires him to be there.
Yeah. Oh, right. Perfect.
Otherwise, it wouldn't gel with the rest of
it. But so he and Allison kind of form this pact that they're going to take on the world and defeat all the people that have wronged them.
When in that scene of the diner at the very end, where she said, you're right, let's burn it all down. He's like, I'll strike the match. I was like, oh, man.
I'm like, this is crazy. So now I think that it's like Allison and Corey are killers, right. And Lori's going to have to reckon with that. It's like,
killer
now my granddaughter is a killer. See, and I thought that was an interesting exploration where Allison could go either way. She's been traumatized by Michael Myers. She's inherited this crazy stuff that's happened to her grandma's now happening to her. And she can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
And she takes the path of, again, like the natural-born killers. Her and Corey are going to become killers
and
bad guys.
That plays a different way, right? Like, she's saying, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, the ambiguousness.
He's like, oh, no, we're going to kill everybody.
But he now is a crazy killer, He's like, oh, I'm literally going to burn it all down.
So, but basically what happens is Corey goes back to the sewer. He attacks Michael Myers. And I think this is one of the coolest shots of the movie, is the entire fight scene is filmed through the porthole. So you just see like both characters going back and forth and back and forth through the, and then finally Corey gets the upper hand and takes the mask and goes, and he becomes the new Michael Myers. Now he's taking
out. And he says something of the lines like, you're just an old
you're just
man
an old man in a mask.
Everybody loves that in a Halloween movie, especially the final one where some rando dude comes and beats up Michael Myers, calls him an old man.
But
Kevin, you hit the nail on the head. And this is the reason why so many hardcore fans, the ones that this is their way of life, you have to understand, just like Marvel or Star Wars or Star Trek or DC, whatever it may be. Halloween has some of the most vocal and passionate fans of any franchise, if not the most, which means when you get them angry, they're going to be the angriest people ever. And to me, I understand how a fan could, from the perspective of the scene, see it as disrespectful. You're taking this as my icon, the almighty and all powerful Michael Myers, and you basically make him a bitch.
Yeah.
So I, okay.
And they do.
I hear what you're saying, and I don't, and I do disagree. Only in that this timeline's Michael Myers is, I mean, he's got to be what? 80?
But you just made him a superhero in the last movie. Yeah. Why did you reduce him to crumbling?
But we've seen where he is in this moment. So it
why
kind
did
of
they put him in that spot in this
he
moment?
He didn't need to be there.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
He
was a
kills,
superhero.
He's in a high spot.
Yeah, like that's the problem. Is why did you put him as a withering old man if you made him kill 10 firefighters and survive a fire and survive all that stuff, only to then reduce him to sewer rat guy? It doesn't
sewer
make sense.
Guy. Get it and right, okay. Kevin. He's the fifth turtle.
Yeah. And if, okay, well then, if you're going to say, well, there's a new Michael Myers, Corey's the new Michael Myers, then pass the torch and make him the new Michael Myers. But they don't.
No. Well, they do
spoilers,
for a little bit.
But spoilers,
they do
don't.
A little bit.
So Corey goes on a killing spree. He kills the cop.
He kills the cop. He kills his mom. He kills all of the band kids. He kills the radio DJ, which I think is one of the best gimmicks of the movie. Is
100%.
When he cuts the DJ's tongue off and the... falls on the record and it
and
just
the record
pops.
Skips because it's going over the
that
tongue.
That was hilarious.
Loved that.
Michael Myers would
one
be
of the
65.
Best kills.
Oh, so that's kind of young. Now that I'm 40, I was like, 65 is not that bad.
Yeah, because he was 6 in 1963.
That makes sense. Okay.
And this
okay.
is an Amsterdam 65. This is 2022 65. It plays
very differently.
We've seen it.
That DJ irritated the living crap out of me.
But I think he's supposed to.
But I mean, just the whole conceit of it.
Sure.
Is he on the radio 24 hours
know,
a day?
Right?
He was doing the morning. He was doing the morning radio.
Yeah, right.
His face and poster are everywhere, and he's doing the nighttime radio.
They're still using
another
this trope.
Danny McBride idea.
And they're still using this trope of like everyone in town listens to this radio station.
Right.
nobody listens, nobody listens to radio in 2022.
This is right? a very 1970s idea for sure.
Yeah. Like it's
so yeah. So Corey,
but the kill and the tongue on the record was
great.
Maybe the best part of the movie.
It's great.
Like this is
fantastic.
They're goofing around on top of the radio station, and Corey like jumps off the side. And Allison's like, "What the hell are you doing?" And he sits up like Michael Myers.
He does.
It was an interesting. Yeah. Again, if you were
I laughed at that. I chuckled at that.
And if you were transferring Michael Myers into him, if he actually was becoming the new Michael Myers, and that's where they were going, it's like, okay, look, he's starting to pick up these qualities.
Right.
He's killing. He kills the nurse. Like Bob
I gotta tell
in
you,
the first
that,
was it?
No,
it's an homage to the Bob kill. Well,
but
Bob.
Michael Myers kills him that way. The real Michael Myers kills him. The real Michael Myers kills the nurse.
Kills like, the nurse.
Kills
he
the
kills
nurse
the
like
doctor.
Bob. He kills the doctor.
But Michael Myers, it's an homage to the way he kills Bob. Like
also,
he pins her up.
Gravity doesn't work that way.
Well, but yes, we definitely.
That scene though, in general, that's an interesting thing that they played with there. And I thought this was something where they were going to go. You know. After he transfers over and Michael starts, I felt like he was, it's almost like the Freddy versus Jason thing where Freddy says, the kids aren't afraid of me anymore. I have to make them scared again. I'm going to use Jason. And Jason starts killing kids and it makes them scared so Freddy can come back and be almighty, all-powerful Dream Master. And here, I thought they were going to do the same thing. It was interesting to have them kind of tag team killing together in the same scene. I was like, okay, I might be able to go along with this, but that's the only time they do it.
So I
it's
thought
like Michael followed him there to make sure that he's doing it right. Like you're not getting the job done.
So I thought that was Corey. I thought the reveal was going to be anytime we saw Michael Myers, it was going to be Corey in reality doing
right.
All
but
the
in
things.
His head. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He sees Michael Myers, but we know that it's Corey.
Interesting.
And I will say that that scene is also insanely good where the lights are off and the nurse goes to the sliding door and you can just see that you can see a shadow. And it's just a little shadow going up and down and you don't know what it is. And then when she turns the lights on, it turns out that it's Corey gutting this doctor. So, yeah.
What a sleazebag.
He was a sleazebag. Corey or the doctor?
The doctor.
Oh, okay.
The doctor had a nice pad, though. I got to say, man. I was like, well, something there.
He thinks he does, too.
Yeah, right. So
real estate prices are cheap in
Haddonfield. So they... Corey ends up calling Allison. He's like, hey, man, your grandma's crazy. Like, she's trying to kill me. And then he's like, meet me at the diner at 9 p.m. So we go back to this. I was going to call it the Strode house. It is not the, well, I guess it kind of is. It's her house.
And it's the new Strode house.
It's the new Strode house. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. She told us in the beginning. She bought a house.
She, again, kind of like the head fake in 2018, she's despondent because all of these, you know, we see the woman, the woman that is, we thought was murdered and kills comes back and like her sister's like, you don't even know her name, like, and blames Lori.
I like this exploration too of
I
like
agree.
Lori is the victim and now you've got all these other people that are trying to put the blame onto her for luring
when she
Jason,
says that like
or,
you
Jason,
what did she say
Michael.
She said that you antagonized that man and all you had to do was leave him alone. I was like, I don't think that's how that happened.
Yeah,
like, but that's not
but yeah, now they're blaming her and she's dealing with all this stuff. So I'm like, this again is very interesting. And that is why, so like the town views her as a pariah, and that's why I thought her and Corey, that relationship was interesting.
Yeah.
But he takes it a different direction and deals with it in a different way. And I really think that the showdown would have been more interesting if he kind of did become Michael, because then Lori would have been able to confront Michael
a version of Michael,
but really it's just kind of like a little spin-off Michael.
So
I think that would have felt anticlimactic if her
final thing is against not Michael
was with new Michael.
Michael Myers too.
Yeah,
right.
I just like the idea of him passing the torch more.
I know. So
well, yeah, you have her battle the real Michael, but the torch has been passed. She's out of the franchise, but you can keep going. There's your ending.
There's some things that I would like to see happen going forward, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
But basically, Corey has turned Lori against Allison. And
vice versa. Allison against Lori. Because Lori's still fighting for it. Like, there's that whole scene where, like, also, this kid is sleeping in the house on the bloodstain of the kid that he killed. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's it. Like, there's no coming back
from
that.
But, like, so they're at odds, basically.
Yeah,
and so there's now this conflict between Lori and Allison. And so it does look like Lori's being beat, you know, people in the town hate her. And now she's lost Allison, who is her only family member who's alive. And she
becomes despondent. What we think she becomes despondent.
And it looks like she's going to take her own life.
And I think it's a good head fake because Lori calls the 911, reports a suicide, and she's walking past the pumpkin. And then there's a gunshot. And there's the way that room is lit. You can't tell what splatters against the wall, which I was like, that's kind of a cool trick.
Yeah, you hear it and you're like, oh, wow. I mean, it does sound.
And then it goes back to the POV and the hand pushes the door.
And at this point, Corey's dressed like Michael, right?
He's got the mask on, he's got the jumpsuit, the whole shebang. Yeah. And Lori is dressed like she was in 1978.
That's right.
She's wearing the same outfit at the end of 1978. And then I think this is a good head fake, much like the 2018 one where Judy Greer, you know, the gotcha line, Corey Michael opens the door and there's Lori with the gun and shoots him twice in the chest. Well, sort of in the chest. It's in the, when we see him laying down, it's like in his shoulder. I will call on that. I'm like, we saw in 2018 that she could hit a mannequin from about 90 yards away.
Right in the head.
Not even that. Like, I mean, you could at least hit him center mass. Right. Like, what are you doing?
And she was right there in front of him, too.
Corey falls down the steps. And if there's a line earlier in the movie where Corey is saying, if I can't have her, nobody will.
I don't like the idea of him dying because I liked if he would have been set up as the new Michael. But I do like the idea of the last thing he does is screwing her over.
Even worse.
And I wish it would have worked and held on for more than 5 minutes. Because that's the thing. He then does the ultimate turn Lori against Allison.
Yeah.
And he makes it look like Lori's killed him because she's crazy.
So Corey sits up and stabs himself in the neck. And I was like, well, where do we go from here? Because we've got some time left.
Allison
walks
in,
and of course, Lori immediately puts her hands on the knife and pulls it out. I'm like, what are you doing? Right. Like, just leave it in.
Such a
and
setup.
Then she drops it on the floor, yeah, just like she does in
she's
every
the knife
movie.
As Corey is just like squirting blood everywhere. And then Allison storms off. Now Lori is even more now she is actually despondent.
Yeah.
And the real Michael Myers comes into the house because he's been following Corey, apparently. Now this is the final showdown, right? Michael Myers is in the house and we've got a different Lori. She's still, there are some bits of this movie that we haven't really talked about with Will Patton, who if Will Patton never smiles again, I'll be happy with it because it creeps me out. I didn't like it. It was weird. But there is a moment between them in the grocery store where she is the Lori pre the attack 1978. She's playing with her hair. She's nervous. She can't.
She's that teenager that she never got to be.
Exactly.
What happened
exactly.
And I was she's like, literally reverting back. It's adorable and one of the best scenes in the entire movie. I feel like the scenes between her and Hawkins are the best stuff in the movie, for me at least. We got to see the Lori that we love.
And she's got a chance at happiness finally after all these years where you're like, okay.
So. Now this is it. Now we're back to being 2018 Lori, where she is not stopping. And I agree. It's only 5 minutes, but I do like that she holds her own the entire time.
I didn't think the showdown was that epic as they touted it would be.
I think it was, but what I like about it is that while Lori is on her heels for about a minute of it, as soon as she kicks him in the leg and he like drops backward, she's on the offensive the entire time and doesn't quit.
She like crucifies him.
Sometimes in these movies, even in 1978, when she like stabs him over the back of the couch, she just kind of lets it go and then just kind of sits there. And then, of course, he sits up and the whole thing. This one, she doesn't stop. Right. You're right. She stabs him in the hand.
Well, she's been preparing her whole life.
That's exactly it.
So I would expect if she did the same thing, and said, her character has progressed like we saw in 2018. And that's what I wanted to see more of. She softened a little bit by this movie, but it makes sense because she's trying to live a normal life. She doesn't want to latch on to that anymore. Whereas in 2018, dude, she had like machine guns. Uzis and
flamethrowers,
grenades, bazookas, everything.
You name
it. She had a trap that she built in her basement for this thing.
Which I think is great. It's a great moment.
Yeah. But I mean, I expected her to whoop his ass, and she does.
Yeah. She does.
And it's well done. It's well shot. I just wanted more of it. I feel like, as a fan and also just a regular moviegoer, I just wish there was more cat and mouse to it. Because that's what Halloween is. That's what Michael Myers is. He loves to play with his prey. I don't like that it was instantly direct, here it is, like a comic book movie showdown, and then it's over.
Right.
And you snap your fingers, it's over. I wanted more stalking because let's make no mistake, there is barely any, if any at all, stalking in this movie.
Stalking is
Halloween.
You get one or two scenes of like Michael standing outside of a tree, like on the side of a tree, looking at Lori, like, you
it's
know.
Corey.
No, it's Michael. Because Corey's in the house banging Allison.
Yeah, Corey's in the house. Michael shows up. He's checking on him.
Yeah,
he's making sure he's
Corey and Allison are hooking up, and then Michael's outside.
Okay, I thought that was Corey.
Hey,
okay, interesting.
Michael's like, hey, we have a good history of tag teaming.
Anyone? No? Okay.
She basically has him dead to rights, but then he rips his hand through one of the knives he's been crucified, starts choking Lori, and I'm like, oh, well, they're both gone. But then Allison comes back, and it's
because she realizes that Lori was right. Right, like she sees the DJ's
radio
dead.
Radio station on fire.
Yeah, the radio, yeah. And she realizes that Lori. And then I guess Hawkins calls her and says, "Hey, we just had a report of a suicide at your grandma's house." So then she
just
goes
back. Oh man, it's but just, I will it say just before like undermines the whole thing before where it's like, oh man, it was so evil that he set them against each other, and then I don't know. I just don't like the fact that they kept undermining their own setups.
I will say, like, when she gets him pinned to that cutting board or that thing and she slits his throat and stabs him in the side, I was like, well, all right,
finally, which is like what they should have done.
The worst one from a guy who has had his knee damaged a lot is when she drops that refrigerator on his knee on the thing. I was like, that's
how you're getting old.
I know. I was like, that's terrible. But then Allison,
the scariest part of a Halloween movie is like, oh, he's not lifting with his knees.
Yeah, don't lift with your back. What are you doing? And then Allison shows up. She says, "We're not. This is not happening." Takes his hand off, and then they slit his wrist the right way.
Yeah, it's a good lesson for the kids.
Yeah, perfect, ooh, perfect. And they let him bleed out. And I was like, okay, this is something you can come back from, right? Like, you could, in theory, you know, come back from this. And then,
well, this is the thing we've been saying they should have done the entire time. It's like, dude, make sure this guy is done for good.
They do in this one.
So they have a whole procession,
which I do think is interesting. And the only reason is that this demon basically has been a curse on this town for 40 years. Now they've got him.
It's like a ritualistic sacrifice.
And she says
kind
that.
Thing,
she
kind of
says that in the book that she's writing, where they Spider-Man to it and put him on top of a car, and they drive
which
him.
Which looked absolutely ridiculous.
It did look ridiculous. I don't disagree.
It looked ridiculous.
I think the procession and the whole thing was a little
ridiculous. They should have strung Garland up on him when he got
To be fair to that, this is really one of the only points in the movie where it ties into the history of Samhain / All Hallows Eve / Halloween, where you'd sacrifice something for the greater good. And that's, I mean, for me at least, that's how I read it. It's like, hey, this is, we got to put something in here that connects to that. And I just wish the scene was more powerful.
It literally
ended on a whimper for me.
I think you mean Samhain.
Samhain.
No, I know.
It's actually pronounced.
Totally, but I think it's also...
God damn it. I was going to say, because like, it always bugs me so much when, you know, Loomis and Halloween 2 is like,
Samhain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it, it's Samhain.
I also think it's a little hard to get behind the movie and the franchise resolving around what really looks like a lynch mob.
Kinda. That's a fair statement.
I get that we know that they got the right guy.
Right.
But it's still that kind of mob
invoking
justice. Like,
well, it's a mob justice from the last one, right?
Right, but you were supposed to be against the
that
mob
was the whole,
justice.
Yeah,
right?
The whole evil Dias Knight thing was bad.
And then and then here they turn around and give it to you and like, hooray.
Woohoo.
Yeah. That's a great point.
But I get what they were trying to do was, like you said, the town has been,
is like, we're done.
They need to purge the town of this evil once and for all. But when you look at it in this more grounded, realistic way, it's just weird. And the filming
in
the
a modern way, yeah.
Yeah, and the filming of it did not seem like creepy.
Especially when the sheriff is like, no, this is
how we're
well,
doing.
So I'm even okay with that in a way that's like a quiet thing, right? Like, if they get his body back to the morgue and you've got Hawkins, you've got the sheriff, you've got Lori and Allison, and they're all like, you know, looking at each other, being like, we need to take care of this. And if it's the four of them throwing him into the wood chipper, okay.
Yeah.
But when you've got the entire town,
right,
you know, lining the streets
so
of Haddonfield.
National news story.
Yes, absolutely.
But otherwise, what they're saying is if the town doesn't see it, the town can't move on. Like, I get what they're trying to do. It just, and I like the idea of it, but it does feel weird.
I think maybe it works also better if we didn't see it in the last movie.
Yeah.
If they didn't do the exact same thing in the last movie. So basically, they get Michael to the junkyard, and Lori pushes him into the grinder, and they grind his
Chekhov's
ass up.
Car
give me
like
ending Toy Story 3 didn't have the balls for.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And they grind him up, and that's, you know, they're...
And then they eat the hot dogs
for
dinner.
That's correct. The joke is that obviously they always come back, and I don't know how you bring this Michael Myers back.
You electrify the pile of goo
at the ground
and lightning hits it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they can do it. Someone reads a ritual thing. And
he's not Chucky.
He could be.
So then we flash forward a little bit. Allison's booking out of town. Lori's finishing her book.
Is just booking.
Booking. Yeah. That's true, yeah. And then she has a really, I think, fantastic interaction with Hawkins, where Hawkins is just trying to be the good guy. He's like, I just got you some groceries, and they talk about this, the cherry blossoms and things. And
I thought he just worked for Instacart. Is that what was going on?
I believe you're right, okay. Yes.
But I like that. Lori, that makes more sense. Lori has a chance for happiness.
Yeah.
It's a nice send-off.
Here's what I appreciate. This is what I've come to realize in doing this show as many times as we have. These directors and filmmakers don't owe us anything. That's the bottom line.
Sure.
They owe us nothing. And if they're trying to tell a story, and I know that stings for horror fans, right? Because both of us, I think these characters if they do something to Superman that I don't like, I'm going to have feelings about it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, David Gordon Green is telling his story. And I think he swung for the fences with this one, and maybe he foul tipped it. I think he hit a solid ground rule double. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I think getting a definitive ending for Lori that you can say, like, we see this is the end of Lori's story. I think it's good. I think where they go from here, I don't know. But I think that's kind of what I took away from this, is that filmmakers don't owe people anything. There should be some like reverence for characters. You know what I mean? Like Jimmy Olsen's a perfect example. When Zack Snyder shoots Jimmy Olsen in the head, and then you find out later, like, by the way, that was that beloved character that everybody liked that had his own comic book for about 200 issues.
And you didn't even say his name.
And you didn't even say his name. And we just shot it. And then it was like, no, it was cool, man. We're just having fun with it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's wild.
Like, that is a problem.
Yeah.
But I think go ahead. No,
I know what you're saying, but it's also hard to. I mean, I don't think any director owes anyone anything, but when you make a movie that is so much filled with fan service as he did with 2018, it's the Force Awakens of Halloween movies.
And this one, you know? I mean, she's wearing the same outfit twice. There's the scene with Lindsay Wallace that's taken right out of the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, so when you're doing things like that, it is kind of hard to take seriously the opposite side. But I see your point, and I don't disagree with it. It's just fans don't. I mean, see, we come from a different perspective because we review movies and we're fans, right?
Yeah,
so just the basic fan is not going to see it from that perspective. And I feel like so many of them should learn to be more open-minded and to put their expectations in check. Unfortunately, that's just not the world we live in when it comes to the fan community and being a hardcore fanboy. So it'd be nice if people did go into movies with that sensibility and that mindset, but they just don't.
No, I agree. I agree.
I heard it, you know, at the press screening that I went to of this movie. As soon as they walked out, I always stand outside as soon as it's done to hear what people are saying. And not a single person was understanding of what they were trying to do with this. It was either I loved it or I hated it, and this is why.
I mean, I think general audiences are going to, you know, what did they do to my boy? They reduced Michael Myers to this sniveling old man. And yeah, there's this 5-minute showdown at the end, but this whole movie that was the final epic conclusion, just,
I think
he's sidelined for the bulk of the movie in the same way she was sidelined in the last one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, she was kind of sidelined in this one until the very end.
And yeah. She's
working too much.
No, that's true.
You know? It was more
Allison.
Yeah.
Corey,
and then to spend so much time on Corey for no reason. It's like, what, why? It just doesn't connect.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But I think for me at least,
liked it better than the last one.
Sure, absolutely. Sure.
The
sure.
last one was just trash. But
yeah. First 10 minutes. That's all.
But I just was like, I like Kevin said, they keep setting up things that they take away for no reason.
Well, I think,
and I'm like, what are we doing this for? You're just spinning your wheels.
If you're planning,
if I go to Lynyrd Skynyrd's farewell tour, and they give me a 3-minute version of Freebird,
sure,
I'm burning the place to the ground.
Totally legit.
Right?
That's essentially what they did.
We got a 3-minute version of Freebird.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know.
No Simple Man.
Because they burn, you know.
Yeah. And you know, and just, and on and on, right? No,
right.
The, you know, no Saturday
the ones you don't
special.
Want to hear.
No,
right.
Like.
And also, perfect, the ending to that is we did not even get John Carpenter's theme from the original. Not a new version that he did. We did not even get like that needle drop of the original theme from the original movie.
I guess that's fair.
That's what we wanted. That's what we expected.
They needed to Rocky.
Seriously.
Creed?
It was Creed.
Yeah. They needed to Creed it where you earned it after an hour.
Yeah.
But the problem was after an hour or so, they're like, oh yeah, Michael's in this movie. Okay, let's go.
Except they didn't earn it.
Right.
That's why they didn't use it. They were like, oh, we didn't earn this. We're not going
to
use it.
Hey, props to them for being able to recognize and say,
hat tip.
Yeah. Do we have a, like an idea of like what this is made for the weekend by chance?
20.
It underperformed. I think it made 40.
Oh, I thought five. It was like 20.
Okay. I think it was. Okay. I don't think. I think it was supposed to make. They were estimating at first 55, but I think it ended up making 40, which is under expectations, but still 40. And it was day and date with Peacock.
So yeah, you can watch it.
Pretty impressive.
Peacock,
I mean, that's still. Yeah.
They didn't get my money.
So for me, what I would
they got mine.
So what I would do going forward is if we're gonna do a Halloween movie, give Danielle Harris a shot. Bring her back. Let her be
I think you already know. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, yep. That's what they're, I'm just going to let you know. That's what I was told they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it out on your show.
Bring her back as Laurie Strode's daughter and let her have her story. The other one I wouldn't mind seeing is a teenage Lindsay and Tommy having to take on the shape 20 years after, 15 years after the events of part one. But that's what I mean. That's what I think would be fun. Danielle Harris got the shaft, and I don't mean that in any other way than... What happened?
I mean, she likes getting it. If you listen to her podcast,
true.
Talk Scary to Me, she likes talking about
it. It is a very good podcast with Scout Taylor Compton. But part four and five, four, she's great. Five, she's not given much to do. Six, they were like, by the way, we're going to kill you in the first 10 minutes. And
so you think they need to reboot this and is over ended?
Yeah, this is over.
Right.
This timeline is done. Now we're going to go to Halloween 4 and we're going to go from there.
Yeah. Let Laurie rest.
Let Jamie be her.
And fans want this. Make no mistake. It's been talked about in the community for a long time. And there is a very strong reason as to why Danielle Harris was at the premiere of this movie and taking photos with Jamie Lee Curtis and everyone from the franchise. We know. I mean, that's basically what I was told they're going to do from someone that works at Blumhouse. So I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, they could just be.
Sure.
Just to get fan stuff started, but I'd love to see that. I mean, at this point, we're not going to see Laurie Strode ever again.
No, I think we're done.
100%. She's done. I don't want to see her back again.
That's what I'm saying. Just let her be. Like, if you're going to end it this way, I didn't necessarily love the way that it ended, but it was good enough to where it's like
you got
okay,
her to come back twice.
Let her
for two different times.
Yeah.
So
this is it.
Count
your
blessings.
Ended it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Justin, where can they find you and your wares?
We are everywhere on social media at Epic Film Guys, and you can find our podcast, Epic Film Guys Presents Brain Stew, on literally every single podcatcher. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find us. Hope you enjoy.
Awesome. And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Alex is the killer. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, because we already warned you. Better watch out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.